Shalom, saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries Bible Study. This is Dan with my lovely wife and best friend, Sheila Crawford. Just a reminder that all our radio programs and newsletters are archived on shofarministries.net, a surplus of knowledge that we anticipate you will share with others. Let's bow our hearts in prayer. Abba, Father, as we reflect the real reason for your death and resurrection, we thank you with much gratitude for sending your Son to pay the debt for our sins. And because of your resurrection, we know we can live eternally and forever. We pray for these prayer requests and the prayers of those listening right now, especially those suffering from severe diseases, as we know you will carry us through all our afflictions. Bless this teaching tonight, and may it be to your glory. We ask that in Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, do you have any end-time question that you might like answered on the air? Honey, could you tell our listeners how they can do that? And as well, they can send in their prayer requests.
Yes. There are three ways to do this. You can email to Sheila at shofarministries.net, or just call the office and leave a detailed message to 834-9006, or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And, of course, we always appreciate your much-needed love offerings, which can also be made on our webpage, shofarministries.net. And a reminder, all the programs are archived on our webpage, as well as the newsletters. And the first Friday of every month, we are at Chester Christian in Chesterland, Ohio at 7 p.m.
Also, this coming Friday at 7 p.m. at Chester Christian Center, they're going to be showing the DVD called True Legends. And it's the new discoveries of Giants' Bones and the Days of Noah.
Okay, any news tonight?
Well, a little bit. Well, good news, Israel's attacks are going down. However, Turkey's attacks are rising. Where last week, the United States and Israel has recommended that non-residents leave immediately. And sure enough, just yesterday, a missile strike hit a Turkish city on the Syrian border where dozens were wounded. Alternative news is reporting a very possible worldwide banking crisis is literally within view and on the horizon. This week, the finance ministers of the G20 nations will meet Tuesday and Wednesday. And then on Thursday, the World Bank and the IMF will meet in Washington. It's curious that every major banker in the world is meeting in Washington this week. Economists are saying something is surely up.
In 1929, when the stock market crashed, the major bankers of the world, around 40 of them, met in New York. Mm. And Winston Churchill was also there. And the next day is when we had the crash of 29 and started the depression.
Well, isn't that
coincidence, huh?
Well, here's something I think is very important, and it's that the Pope has invited Bernie Sanders to the Vatican. Well, of course he would, because the openly socialist Sanders is making headway in the election. The Pope, being described by many as a Marxist, would love to endorse Bernie. And if that happens, and by the way, he's the only candidate who has been invited, he could easily win the presidency. Oh my, this is the globalist agenda happening right before our eyes.
And that is amazing.
I know, to see it. Well, it's been a tough week for tax shelters since the Treasury Department issued new rules governing what is called inversions. This is a practice in which U.S. companies agree to be acquired by foreign companies, thus reducing their corporate tax burdens. Also, A massive information leak is being felt around the world. They're calling it the Panama Papers, and it outlines the dealings of the law firm called Mossack Fonseca, and it's showing how it helped wealthy clients funnel money into offshore accounts and secretive shell companies. Go figure. Over 11 million legal records containing the names of celebrities, political officials, and even criminals. And in fact, more than 214,000 offshore entities mentioned in the documents provide connections to people in more than 200 countries and territories, including current and former world leaders. Investigations are in force. But again, no surprise. And tonight, we're going to continue in our spring appointments of Leviticus 23, and of course, kept personally by Jesus. Since Passover begins on April 22nd this month, we have been concentrating on these wonderful spring feasts, and we have covered that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the Jewish calendar called Nisan 10, which is Palm Sunday. He was examined with questions and concerns for 4 days by the Pharisees and others in the temple as a type of the sacrificial lamb that's also chosen on Nisan 10 and also examined for any blemishes for 4 days as required in Exodus 12. Understanding this particular element of Hebraic roots teaching is really the key to knowing when Jesus died on the cross. So Sunday, counting 4 days, is Wednesday, after sundown when they had the Seder meal was eaten. And of course, we have always called it the Last Supper, but it was a Seder meal. The next morning, since Thursday comes after Wednesday, he was put on the cross, leaving his own blood on the wood on the anniversary of the lamb's blood on the wooden doorposts in Egypt. Now, he died at 3 p.m. before sundown, which would have been then Nisan 15, and he was put in the tomb and then found empty on Sunday morning the 17th. Rising, probably in the morning watch, because it would be a type of when the Israelites went through the Dead Sea. And we know this by Exodus 14:24. And of course, destroying its enemies. Also fulfilling Jesus' own typology of Jonah being in the whale for 3 full days and 3 full nights. Matthew 12:39. So, dying on Friday makes the Bible look foolish to an already skeptic of its truth. Of course, that was the purpose of the religious body during the Dark Ages anyway. They didn't want the Bible to be recognized as being truth.
All right. Reminder, you can listen to last week's program on our webpage, shofarministries.net.
Yes, and I highly recommend that for these feasts. Mm-hmm. So, Jesus' resurrection is our topic for today. We've already covered his death and his burial, so now we're going to look at the resurrection. Also called, or is on, the Feast of First Fruits on Nisan 17.
So we have covered pretty thoroughly his death on Passover, his burial on Feast of Unleavened Bread, for he is our unleavened bread from heaven.
He is.
So, his resurrection on the annual Feast of First Fruits.
It is. Another point I want to make is now, the Jewish people simply call the whole 8 days the season of Passover, to include the 1 day of Passover, which is only 1 day, and the 7 days of unleavened bread, which the first fruits is always the Sunday during the 7 days of unleavened bread.
But today, you know, it's all pretty much ignored.
Well, the Feast of First Fruits is, and it could be because the Christians, or I should say those who have some Hebraic roots knowledge, celebrate it as the resurrection, because it is. So, let me just reiterate here. Jesus rose from the dead on the Sunday, early morning, probably at sunrise, since he is our rising sun, S-O-N, during Passover season, and that year, it changes, but that year, Sunday was on Nisan 17, delivering all of us from our enemy, who now no longer has the power of death over us. And of course, this represents our new life when we are born again. And at our resurrection, Satan's army will no longer even be able to tempt us. Such an amazing plan of God to the minute detail. Nisan 17 is also the anniversary of when the Jews' evil enemy Haman was hung in the book of Esther, sparing the death of all the Jews, and instead granting life.
Yeah, and by the way, also that was on Nisan 7. Also on Nisan 17, Noah's Ark landed on Mount Ararat. New life as well.
Ararat. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Yes, that's the truth. And so now let's read the scripture defining the barley feast of first fruits. And that's in Leviticus 23, 10 and 11.
Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give to you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall weigh the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall weigh it.
Okay, there it is right there. It had to be on a Sunday, which is how we know he rose on a Sunday, probably just at sunrise, just before the ladies got there. And we'll be covering this in full coming in June, but let's read why there is a counting of the Omer. Because it's the Feast of First Fruits when they begin counting the 50 days to Pentecost. And the Lord commanded it, and it's in Leviticus 23:15. Honey, could you read that?
And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, first fruits, seven Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath, then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord.
In other words, they always begin counting on Sunday during Passover or the Feast of First Fruits during Pentecost. So that would always be on a Sunday as well, Sunday to Sunday. And Omer, again, was a measurement of barley, which is the first fruits of the spring harvest, and used as an offering to the Lord.
Everything God does is so precise, so orderly, and with so much detail.
Right. So Jesus would fulfill with great accuracy to show the world that he is truly God and Jesus is his son. He rose from the dead on the Feast of First Fruits because he is the first fruits of the resurrection, as Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 15:20. And can you read that?
But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming.
That's right. And so I think I'd like to look at another scripture about the first fruits terminology in Romans 8:23.
For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption or resurrection of our body.
That's right. We, the church, are the first to receive the Holy Spirit as part of our salvation. You know, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon people as he wished, but He did not live inside the righteous till Jesus came. In actuality, it's the whole Trinity that resides in us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we seldom see or understand that God the Father is in us too, at least according to Ephesians 4:6.
One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all.
That's right. And then, of course, the Son, Colossians 1:27.
To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Okay, we got the Father, Son. What about the Holy Spirit? 1 Corinthians 6:19.
Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?
That's right. So there you have it. The whole Trinity right there inside of all of us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's powerful in my, and I think it's something that we forget about. So anyway, back to the word first fruits. So the Hebrews were the first elect, and then you can read that in Isaiah 45:4. Israel was called the elect as well in the Old Testament. And the church elect is the first to be chosen in the New Testament. So let's now look at Revelation 14, whose context is about the 144,000, that are immediately saved after we leave. And we're sealed in chapter 7 for protection during this soon coming time of, I would say, intense tribulation, where John gets a future vision of the 12 tribes of Israel now singing around the throne. And here's what chapter 14:3 says.
They, the 12 tribes, sang as it were a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from earth. These are the ones who are not defiled with women, meaning godly goddesses, for they are virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb.
That's right. And so you see, we have different groups of people during the tribulation. We have the bride, of course, that becomes the wife. We have the tribulation saints that get saved during the tribulation. We have the 144,000 that get a double anointing of the Holy Spirit immediately when we're gone, which is why they're called first fruits. So again, you need to ask this question to yourself. How can there be another group referred to as first fruits when I thought we are the first fruits? Well, if you are one of those who think we are here for the tribulation or even any part of it, you cannot answer this question of why they are called the first fruits when so are we. Of course, I've already told you, but I think you need to really get it inside of you, and you can use this, because there's only one way that they would be called the first fruits during the tribulation. Obviously, we are no longer on earth, and they are the first to get saved during that time and are therefore spared from any harm, none. Over 20 years ago, when I was really researching the pre-trib rapture teaching, I examined a lot of these details overlooked by most. Just like, how come the church is absent after Revelation chapter 3 when it's mentioned about 19 times before that? Well, obviously, it's because chapter 4 is John's vision of the rapture when we're taken up. And then Jesus takes the scroll of judgment, opening it in chapter 5. And the seal judgments begin in chapter 6 after the 12 tribes, who are now new believers for some reason. We're not quite sure why, but all of a sudden they believe. It's probably because I think they might have had a vision of the rapture and became believers immediately. But again, the church is no longer mentioned or seen after chapter 3 until chapter 19, when we will have returned and are called his wife. Yes, not bride now, it's wife in verse 7, chapter 19. The King James Version and the NIV says bride. That can really throw you off. But the original Greek says wife. And most versions have corrected it, as the New King James does as well. Another truth, often not known, is that the standard honeymoon for all Jewish marriages has to be for a period of 7, usually 7 days, but some were 7 weeks if they had a lot of money, but had to be for the number of completion, 7 something, 7 days, 7 weeks, 7 months, whatever. You know, even in Genesis 29, and I hope you'll read that soon, when Jacob thought he married Rachel, but it turned out to be Leah, Laban, the father, said in verse 27 that Jacob had to complete or fulfill Leah's week before Laban would give him Rachel. Okay? A marriage was not legal till after a 7-day honeymoon. In our case, it will also be a period of 7, but in years, because God is very rich. But 3.5 would not fulfill the requirements of all Jewish grooms. Remember how we see how detailed God is? Well, he's the same way with his Jewish customs that he himself installed, so we could see more clearly how it will be with us. Anyhow, I took a side road there, but the main reason Jesus was raised on the Feast of First Fruits, which unfortunately most mix up with the pagan Easter, was because Jesus was the first fruits of the resurrection during the week-long Feast of Unleavened Bread, which this year closes on Nisan 22nd. Nisan 29th, the 8th and final day of the whole season of Passover, which is also a very important day and a holy day or a high Sabbath. And we'll talk about that next week. We'll have another gold nugget even about John the Baptist. But as we will soon enter the Passover season when Jesus rose from the dead, know that it is grounded in reliable accounts from eyewitnesses and persons informed by those who saw a formerly dead man now alive, and they are no less credible for being just said way back then in the early first century. The documentary evidence is sound, and those bearing witness to what they saw made clear they meant what they said. As Jesus' disciple Peter explained years later, he says, "We did not follow any clever myths. Rather, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty," 2 Peter 1. Most often, seeing is really believing. But the major question now is, how well do you know him personally? Jesus, your Savior, has paid your debt. Or do you want to pay it yourself? It really is your choice who pays. Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart, saying, "Why won't you accept my free gift to you?" It's given in agape love of the highest kind. Oh, tell everyone you know, Jesus is coming soon. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That's shalom. Till then, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her, and we're talking about Jerusalem now, that's where God put his name, right in Jerusalem, with the valleys. It just is, his initial, the Sheen, is right there. So again, those who love her, you're going to prosper spiritually, for sure. Psalm 122:6. Till next week.
thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.